بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. So how many kuffar would you have killed in trying to make موعظة الحسنة? You have killed everybody. And there will not be need for da'wah. And da'wah shall exist until the end of time. So those people think that when they do those things that he says terrorism, go and get a bomb and blow up yourself. Has he blown up himself? He has a wife. He has children. How many of his children has he sent to go and blow up themselves? How many? So they say what they can do. And Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun? Kabura maqtan inda Allah, an taqulu ma la taf'alun. Great sin in the sight of Allah that you say what you do not do. So let him follow by example. The Prophet, he said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That verse came also regarding the battle of Ahzab. The Muslims saw the Prophet digging the ground. So he wasn't only telling them dig and was surprised, he was digging too. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the munafiqun were saying that ma wa'adana Allah wa rasulu ila ghurra, they come to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, please give us a excuse, we want to go back to our home. Inna buyutana awra. Allah says, wa mahiya bi awra. In yuriduna illa firara. They only wanted to run away. So that's why he now said in following that those verses that laqad kana lakum fi rasulillah. Look at the Prophet now. He's walking. He's also digging. He's also taking action physically. So follow him. Do what he's doing. So when Faisal gives a fatwa in his own case, because he is not alim, talk less of being a Rabbani, who will be required to follow what he says with action? So he's only saying to useless, ignorant people who follow him and listen to him too. All those nonsense that he says to them. So people think that those things are ibadah, but they are not. فَخَرَجَ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. So they go out of the deen. They say so many things that regarding which they go out of the deen with. Let's be careful. So the Imam said, alayhi rahmatullah, فَانْظُرْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ. Think properly. Consider the issue well. May Allah shower his blessings upon you. He says, think well. كُلَّ مَنْ سَمِئْتَ كَلَامَهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ زَمَانِكَ. Though everyone that you hear his word from the people of your zaman, خَاصَةً especially. When you hear people of the zaman say something, be careful. Start thinking about it. Start pondering, finding out. It says, فَلَا تَعَجَلَنَّ. Don't be in a haste. وَلَا تَدْخُلَنَّ فِي شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ. And do not get into it. Don't get into what they are saying. حَتَّى تَسْأَلَ وَتَنْظُرَ هَلْ تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Until you have thought, pondered, and found out. هَلْ تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did the Prophet's companions radiyallahu anhum, did they say that? And that was why at the beginning of this book Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah started by saying that usul sunnati indana atamassuku bima kana alayhi ashabu rasuli wal iktida'u bihim. Very important in the deen. Find out, did they say what that person is saying? Aw ahadun min al ulama, did anyone amongst the scholars say that? So we will ask Faisal, did anyone of the companions say what you are saying? Did anyone amongst the companions say that kufr duna kufr does not exist? Does anyone say that? Did anyone say that amongst them? And has anyone said that amongst the scholars today in the Ummah? Because he said we should ask him regarding the companions and the scholars. So that's why he tries to tell you that there are no scholars. He is the scholar. All the other scholars are kuffar. The scholars are kuffar, but Faisal is not a kafir. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet said, anyone who causes a thing, and it is not in the right of that thing to be caused, the cause of Allah returns to that person who caused. So if he caused them, that the woe of Allah be upon anyone who denies kufr duna kufr, and these scholars have said kufr duna kufr rightly, to whom does the cause go back to? It goes back to Abdullah Faisal, who was reigning kafir. Allah al-Mustan. He says, فَإِنْ وَجَدْتَ فِيهِ أَثَرًا عَنْهُمْ فَتَمَسَّكْ بِهِ. If you find regarding what they say, narrations from the companions, then hold on to it firmly. وَلَا تُجَاوِزْ هُلِ شَيْءٍ. Then do not leave it for any other thing. Don't say, oh, let's abandon this one. Someone else is saying something. The scholar says so and so. No, say no, don't say that. Faisal said something. Don't do that. Even if he's quoting the verses of Quran and Hadith, ask what the ulama say. Ask what the ulama say. As Shaykh Ubaydullah ibn Jabir al-Jabiri was saying when he was talking about the Hadith of Huzayfa ibn al-Yaman, that كَانَ النَّاسُ يَسْأَلُونَ الرَّسُولَ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِ. He said that this is evidence that in the time of crisis, it is only the scholars that we should be asking questions. In the time when there is fitna and tribulation, because he said, يَسْأَلُونَ. And what did Allah say? He said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكِرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So that's why it is important to Faisal that he declares those ulama as kuffar. You can see his game plan. He knows we have to ask the scholars. So he says those scholars you want to ask are kuffar. So who will you ask? Him. Him, the bloody fool. Allahu Musta'an. So وَلَا تُجَاوِزْهُ لِشَيْءٍ. Do not leave these statements of the scholar for any scholars for any other thing, or for the companions for any other thing. He say, "Wala takhtar alayhi shay'an." Don't choose any other thing and abandon what they say. Don't prefer any other thing to what they say. He say, "Fatasqutu finnar." If you do so, you fall in hellfire. You are treading a path that will lead you to hell. May Allah save us from this. Al-Imam al-Barbahari has said that in his book, Sharh al-Sunnah. This is as much as we'll say regarding this situation, this condition that we have found ourselves. But let Abdullah Faisal beware that we are not interested in talking to him. Anything he wants to say, let him write it. Anything he likes to say, Abdullah Faisal likes to say, let Abdullah Faisal write it. Let him put it to writing. Enough of talks. Let him write. Let him put it to writing. And let people read. Because I'm sure even some of these things that have been quoted in the treatise that was produced, some of the people will be driving, can he say this? Can he say that? So, but when it is written, as they are refuted, they will be quoted, inshallah. As they are refuted, they will be quoted. As they are refuted, they will be, even if it is a 100-page book, if it is a 100-volume book, by the mercy of Allah, we will read it and we will write the refutation. Inshallah. So let Abdullah Faisal write anything he wants to say. Nobody is ready to leave. Lanu jalisuhu. Fayurmaru bikulubana. Yes. When they say things, the heart will be burning. You don't even know what to say. Someone says to you that Imam Tawus ibn Kisan is one tabi'i. How do you feel? Imam Tawus ibn Kisan, one of the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and one of the most learned amongst the Tabi'un. Imam Tawus, one of the most learned amongst the Tabi'un. He says, one Tawus said that. Someone regarding whom the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Imam Darimi has reported this hadith. He says, Tuba liman ra'a man ra'ani. He says, Tuba, in the beginning, he says, Tuba liman ra'ani wa amanabi. He's talking about the companions. Give glad tidings of a place special prepared for people who saw me and believed in me. This removes those who saw the Prophet but were kuffar. He said, Liman ra'ani wa amana bi. He said, Watuba liman ra'a man ra'ani. Then give glad tidings to those who saw me. So Tawus ibn Kisan did not only see, he had strong mulazama with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum. Everywhere he went with him for more than 10 to 15 years. So Ibn Faisal says, one Tawus. So let him write it. If he writes it, inshallah, it will be easier in refutation. Perhaps for every statement he will make 20 pages of refutation, inshallah. So it's easy, let him write it. It should be easy for him to write. This is from what we know scholars. In this deen, scholars are known about four ways. And there is no one that Faisal qualifies to be known as a scholar. Four ways of knowing ulama. The first one, tansisul ulama. One alim comes and says, this person is alim, he's alim. Do we understand? Who are those who make us know that some people are medical doctors? A carpenter, can a carpenter say, Sheikh, this person is doctor? Yeah? Someone comes from his village, maybe a bricklayer, and says, Sheikh, this person is Hafiz of Quran. So someone will say, you are you Hafiz of Quran? Or how do you know? Say, I know now. At least I know I have read Qaidatul Baghdadi. So someone who has read Qaidatul Baghdadi is the one who is able to recognize someone who has memorized the whole of the Quran. So that is putting round pegs in square holes. So the first way of knowing ulama is tansisul a'imma, that the imams of this deen say that this person is an imam. That's one of what Sheikh Uthaymeen said. He said, Al-Albani imamun fil hadith. The Al-Albani is imam. Say he's Al-Albani, is imamul Al-Albani. Don't say, you call him imam. Ulama say that he's imam in this field. And I don't know who they have referred to as imam in hadith in this zaman. So that's why ulama now refer to him as imamul muhaddisin fi hadha al-waqt. Because we have tanfisul a'immah. So don't ask him, how do I know the Albani is a scholar? Because scholar say that he's scholar. So you who say that you are a scholar, which alim? I'm not saying, when I say scholar, because I'm feeling that in this part of the country, any person who can read Arabic and interpret it, people think that he's a scholar. Is this not what we are talking about? It's not. So the first way to know ulama is tansisul a'imma. The third one, the third way of knowing an alim is atharuhu. The second one of knowing the ulama is atharuhu. What did he write? Bring his works. Al-Shaykh Mashhur Hassan Al-Salman, if you read the muqaddimah of his tahqiq on the book Al-Muwafaqat, Al-Shaykh Bakr ibn Abi Zayd was saying that هَذَا عَمَلٌ جَيِّدٌ مِنْ فَضِيلَةِ الشَّيْخ مَشْهُور أبو أبي بيدا مَشْهُور حَسَنْ عَلِي سَلْمَانِ. So if you say مَشْهُور حَسَنْ عَلِي سَلْمَانِ is a sheikh, if you ask me how do I know, I say Bakr ibn Abi Zayd says he's a sheikh. He wrote it. It's in the muqaddimah of the book. When I met the sheikh, I asked him that, they said that, how did you feel when you read, he said well, that is what the ulama said about him. So ulama say ulama and alim based on what? The work. Do we understand? Yes. So he's saying that Sheikh Mashhur is a sheikh because of what? His work. And one of the statements from Sheikh Uthaymeen when he was talking about Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, he said his works testify to his person. Yes. Al-Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah, we never knew him. Alayhi rahmatullah. But from his work we know who he is. Shamsuddin al-Zahabi. It suffices. In fact, any one of his works suffice. Is it Tazkiratul Huffaz? Is it Siyar al-Amu Nubala? Is it Al-Kashif? Fi Zikri Man Lahu Riwayatu Fi Kutubi Sitta? Which of his books? Mizan al-Itidat? They suffice. Imam Hafiz al-Mizzi has about two or three books that the scholars mentioned. Tahzib al-Kamal, Tuhfat al-Ashraf. And each of these books is, think of it. So, the second way of knowing an alim is bil athar. What did he write? What did he say? The third way of knowing the ulama and the fourth way of knowing the ulama, I'll put them together. The third way is through his scholars who were his teachers. Ulama'uhu. The fourth one is tulabuhu. But these two are not definite like the first two. These last two are not definite because an alim can be a true alim Rabbani, but it is not every alim Rabbani that brings about a talib that becomes an alim Rabbani too. Do we understand? But most of the time, alim Rabbani breeds talib Rabbani that becomes alim Rabbani. So the same thing, that someone is a talib who is considered an alim, is not every time that it means that his teacher was an alim. He could have learned the basics from that teacher And then he goes ahead on his own to become what he became. So it doesn't mean that the person who taught him was a scholar. So these two are not completely definite. But the first two are definite. Nafsu alimin aw antariki asarihi. So these two are definite. You can't see the work of, if you see the work of a scholar, you read it and say, oh, he's a scholar. Or the ulama say, oh, no one can write this kind of a book except that it's a scholar. So if Abdullah Faisal thinks that he is a scholar, firstly, let him bring the nafsu of an alim that calls him a scholar. Two, let him bring a book that indicates that he's a scholar. His book, 100 Fabricated Hadith. He just compiled something, went there and gathered it, put it together. And he has so many nonsense in the book. I have it, I've read it more than 10 years ago. The whole of it, many times. So he says so many nonsense in it. So it's not a book that someone gives an attention to. So but if he thinks, I don't know, you never know me, I get so many things in my body that I can show you. Now let him write and let's see. All those things he's saying against the scholar, let him put it to writing. So it can be shown to the ulama, they can say, ah, nobody will write this kind of a thing except an alim, if he wants to be called an alim. Then thirdly, who are his scholars and who are his students? Have you ever heard him say these are the students he has? Or any student say, ah, my sheikh is Faisal, except a maghrur like him himself. Someone who will call somebody his sheikh and he himself cannot read Quran. Someone is your sheikh, you can't read Quran. Your sheikh too can't read Quran properly. You can't read Quran, your sheikh can't read Quran. His Arabiya is begging, your Arabiya is begging. You don't even know Asadun. So, Abdullah Faisal is not an alim. Bali is just only trying to be a student, but that is not how to be a student of knowledge. By making takfir. And all those. And you see the hikmah in the wasatiyya of Ahlul Sunnah al Jama'ah. You've hardly seen a scholar saying that Faisal is kafir. Have you seen anyone saying, they are not like that. La yukafirun al-nas hakada. What he didn't know, they will make that adab with him. The adab that he didn't use with them, they will use the adab with him. Someone asked Ali ibn Abi Talib, despite the fact that the Khawarij made takfir of him, that Ade Kufar, he said, Ikhwanuna bagaw alayna. He said, our brothers, they oppressed us. They are not fair with us. He said, Ikhwanuna bagaw alayna. They asked Ali ibn Abi Talib, this is Ade Kufar. Therefore, they say Ali was a kafir, Ibn Abbas kafir, all of kafir, Imran ibn Hussein kafir, all the companions at the time who were behind Ali ibn Abi Talib, kufar. They ask Ali ibn Abi Talib, what do you say? Are they kufar? He says, la, ikhwanuna, bagaw alayna. They are our brothers, but they just came up against us. So this is the way of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, and this is the wasatiyya of the Ummah. So Abdullah Faisal should not be someone that should make people have problems and all this and all that. No one will have sympathy for him except a jahil or someone that nifaq is disturbing. Someone, a jahil who doesn't know the difference between his right and his left. No one supports him. No one gives audience to him, assists him, defends him except someone who is maghrur. We've had people defending them who think that they are from the Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah. It's very, very unfortunate. It's just a pointer, like I said at the beginning, that situations like this divide the people. It will divide, it brings a big divide between the people. What did he say? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Alif Lam Mim. Ahasiba an-nasu an yutraku an yakulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun wa laqad fatanna alladhina min qablihim. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَسْبِقُونَ سَاءَ مَا يَعْمَلُونَ. So, do people think, we are Imam Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, Allah will just leave you like that? He will bring something to test you, to make us see whether you are really Imam Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah or not. You are trying to ban. They ask you, what is the hukm of this? I say, it's sunnah. The Prophet says, no problem. Let's try and come. We will know whether it is sunnah you are upon or not. We will know whether there is no difference in your turban and the turban of Abu Jahl or not. Let the trial come. وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. We will know at the time. So things like this divide the people. It brings divide. The people are recognized, people of haqq and people of batil. And there is no sympathy for the people of batil and people of innovation. We discussed things like this in the past. So we should be careful in how we relate to people, how we talk with people, and how people get spaces in our hearts. If you allow someone who supports things like this to have a space in your heart, the day you follow him, you will not know. The day you go with him, you will not know. So we must close up our hearts because it is the matter of haqq and batil. May Allah make us our feet firm on the path of haqq. We say it again and on. We are not saying that our scholars are people who can't err. But you must be able to establish that they have erred before we accept that they have erred. You must be able to establish it. Secondly, is that we are not interested in talking to Abdullah Faisal. Anything he has, let him write it. Anything he has to say, let him put it to writing. Because from his writings too, we are going to recognize his ignorance and his deviation more. And we know how to handle those situations, inshallah. So let him write too, challenge him. Let him try to write something and show his scholarship too. So because when you write, you can't even say and go ahead. You write, you quote where he said it, volume, page. So perhaps when he's doing that, he will have opportunity to read and know more what Islam says, rather than just talking from what shaitan brings into his mouth. أَقُولُ مَا أَقُولُ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. If we have one or two questions, inshallah, we'll try to give responses to them. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. I'm not Sheikh, I'm Abu Nasir. Well, some of those narrations are weak narrations. That's one of what you find in that book. And some of those narrations are weak narrations. If he had said 100 weak narrations, it would have been better. Because there are some of the scholars, but he's not a scholar, so that he didn't know that. There are some of the scholars who consider mawdu'at as part of da'ifa. So they will say ahadith are three. There is sahih, there is hasan, and there is da'if. So under da'if, they will say da'if, da'if jiddan, and mawdu'ah. That is da'if, weak, da'if jiddan, very weak, and mawdu, fabricated. So if he had said that those ahadith are weak, 100 weak ahadith, it could have been better, rather than that he said that all of it are fabricated. There are some of them that are just issues that are regarding weak narrations, that are not expressly declared as narrations that are fabricated in his work. Alaykum salam. Allahu alam. Allah has given one the opportunity to read a lot of books from Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah. I have never seen that kind of a statement before. And Allah has also permitted someone to read the criticism of those who criticize Al-Albani rahimahullah. No one has criticized him saying that he said that. Anyone who abuses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam is not a kafir. I've not heard any of the criticisms from anyone against Sheikh Al-Albani saying. In fact, I like to read the criticisms of Sheikh Al-Albani. I like it so much, and I have many of it. Whether the criticisms on his verification of some hadith that he said they are authentic, they are saying no, it's not authentic. Or those he said that they are not authentic, they are saying that it's authentic. Everywhere that I see, I gather them and I read them, bi-idhnillah. And I compare them with the works of the Shaykh. I've not seen something like that from those who criticize him, saying that Al-Albani said, or some people will criticize and said he was weak, he was lenient on a matter. Like this mas'ala of Tariq al-Salah. Some of the people had criticized Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah. And in fact, regarding it, some of people have said that it was a matter of irja. And the leader of the people who said that, he's sick now in Saudi Arabia. From his neck to his leg. He's sick from his neck to his leg. I read the comments of Sheikh Al-Albani before I heard and then read about what he said. Because if you read Az-Zabbul Ahmad and Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah. It was a radd for a man called Al-Hashimi. Al-Hashimi was someone who raised some matters regarding Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, that the Musnad is not from the books of Imam Ahmad, that it was a lie of Imam Al-Qati'i, Abu Abdullah, that he was the one who fabricated Musnad Imam Ahmad. Do you understand? This matter came up. He is a Hanafi, Al-Hashimi. So the matter came up in India, and they wrote a letter to Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz that look at what this man is saying. Please help us look for someone who will defend this matter. Look at. And Sheikh bin Baz said, I do not know anyone who can do this defense except Al-Albani. He wrote a special request to Sheikh Al-Albani. Look, this is the book that someone has written against Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. Please defend it. For 15 years, Sheikh Al-Albani was searching regarding what the man said to verify it or to belie him. And it was clear that it was a lie. 15 years research. He published the book. Just about 150 pages. Alayhim rahmatullah. So he published the work. It was in that work when he was, because they also accused Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Qati'i of irja in Aqidah. So he started to make refutation, and he was putting the refutation of those who had made such claims, and they refuted it amongst the scholars. So it was when he was talking about irja that he was saying that irja is not from Islam, is what he has been preaching for the past 40 to 50 years. He said he had written it, he had talked about it, he had read it, he had done everything someone does regarding what he believes, so that you know that we are upon what the people of Sunnah are upon. And today, some ignorant people who are bearing grudges against us, they accuse us of irja. We refer the case to Allah. That was what I saw first. I it could not be understood at the time. Who are those people? And then later we found out the works of Safar al-Hawali. He wrote a PhD thesis on Sheikh al-Albani, trying to prove that he was murji'a, a'udhu billah. So he didn't say, if Safar al-Hawali had known that Sheikh al-Albani said that anyone who abused the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a kafir, he would have said it. But he didn't say it. And you know what happened to him? He got paralyzed from his neck to the leg. He says, إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُشْتَكَ. Al-Albani said that. He made takhasum to Allah. Ya Allah. He said, I'm murji'a. Okay, I give him your case. The same thing applied when Bishr al-Marisi said that Imam Ahmad was lying regarding Khalq al-Quran. You know what killed Bishr al-Marisi? Paralysis. His bones folded until he died. Bishr al-Marisi. So that's why this guy should be careful. He will not end well if he's not careful. Abdullah Faisal, you know we've been talking about just evidences, what he said. If he's not careful, he will not end well. He will end very badly. So that he will be a lesson to the rest of the people. So, what I'm just trying to say is that I have not read it, and Allah has made it possible for me to read a lot of works of Sheikh al-Albani, and I have not seen it from the works of those who criticize him, which Allah has also made one easy to have read. And I have met a lot of people who oppose and speak against Sheikh al-Albani. No one of them has said it. Do you understand? So one wonders, and he himself who says it, he has not quoted where the Sheikh said it. Because he could have even quoted the Sheikh out of context, which is common with him and the people of deviations, when they quote Allah out of context. So why would they not quote Al-Albani out of context? So what he says, that's why he says, let him write, let him put it to writing. It will be easy. Let him put it to writing, make proper references. We'll go back and read too. We'll give references and we'll give responses to him, inshallah. So the matter will not be they say, I said, they said. If you agree with him, you are already taking him as a seeker. As far as we are concerned, it's a lie. He's a liar. Because we do not accept the reports from people like him. But if he writes it and we can verify it from other than him, like the Prophet verified to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that what Shaitan said was a truth, then we'll accept that it's a truth, and we'll give appropriate responses by the mercy of Allah. Do we understand? Alaykum salam. They have the last question. It's Maghrib. Jazakallah khair. How? You see, how do you say to Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, that you should like the Prophet Muhammad truly, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do you do it? It's a difficult thing to do. That is one. Secondly, is that deviation has levels, and for every level, that is the way you deal with it. So on earth, if you see a brother that is dirty shaven, or that drags his garments, or that perhaps oppresses his wife, how you deal with that is different from someone who comes and says the right thing to do is to do that. Do you understand? And if you don't do it, you're a kafir. You know, the matter begins to take another shape. In fact, he will tell you that if you don't agree with what he says, you're a kafir. So the matter is going to take completely a new dimension. Ali ibn Abi Talib could not have fought and killed, he said it. He said, we should not have fought and killed the Khawarij. But we started to kill them when they started to kill the Muslims. Because they say the Muslims are kuffar. That's what the Prophet said about them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, they will kill the Muslims and they will leave the mushrikun. Khawarij. So Ali ibn Abi Talib started to fight them and kill them because they were killing the Muslims. When they were not killing the Muslims, he didn't do anything to them. Because ra'ayun ra'aw, his opinion, misguided. But they now made the blood of the Muslims halal for themselves to take. So they took the blood of the Muslims, then they started to be killed. Ali should have said, these people, almost 7,000 to 8,000 people, let's not fight them. Let's leave them like that and say, oh, you have done well. No. Fight them. Allah says, إِنَّمَا جَزَاءُ الَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَسْأَوْنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا. This is Faisal here. And يُقَتَّلُ. If it were an Islamic country, they would have killed him. Like Khalid ibn Abdullah did to one of the leaders of Jahmiya. On the day of Eid, he brought him to Eid. He said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُحُوا ضَحَيَاكُمْ تَكَبَّلَ اللَّهُ ضَحَيَاكُمْ. Oh, people, slaughter your, make your slaughterings. May Allah accept it. As for me, my own slaughtering is this one. He slaughtered him in front of the people. Because he said, ما كلم الله موسى تكليما. Allah did not speak to Musa alayhi salam. وما اتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا. Allah did not take Ibrahim as Khalil. He said, oh, you said that. They talked to him. He insists that that's what you want. They took him to the Eid on the day, and he was the ram of the Imam on that day. So if we're in a situation where we have Khalifa of the Muslims, people like Faisal would have gone to the grave long ago. It's not Britain that will imprison him. Long ago would have forgotten him. And his followers would have been saying alayhi salam to him by now. So the situation of people like him is not a situation where he starts negotiating and all this. There are some of the people for whom Allah has written misguidance. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. If he's from the kuffar, do you know? But he has done so many things that which you cannot say is your brother. And you are not only saying that he's a kafir, you are still just giving him excuse. And you are silent upon that, watching where Allah will push him to. But at the same time, you are on your guard. So we are not going to openly say, oh, come on, we are not going to do that. It is dangerous. And at the same time, we are not going to say you're a kafir. We will not also do that because it's also dangerous. We may not have the proof to do so. And we will not do like he did, doing something for which we do not have evidences for. So we are going to make mu'amala. We are going to deal with him as the situation depicts. If he says tomorrow he has made tawbah, he's no more declare all those statements, he's no more saying them again, you will see what will happen to him. You understand? So his case has passed the case of someone you invite to a dinner in your house because you want to tell him that he's doing something that is bad. He will tell you that you will not eat your food because you're a kafir. So what will you do? Where will the dawah start from? You are proving that you are not a kafir or eating the food. Allah understand. May Allah save us from the fitna. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى who from his mercy has made us to live from the last time we met reading this book until today, when we shall continue to read the book inshallah. We pray Almighty Allah to count this from our good deeds, the deeds that are sincerely done for his sake, and to forgive us our mistakes and our shortcomings, and admit us into his mercy. Today inshallah we'll continue with this book, Usul Sunnah, of Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani alayhi rahmatullah. And this book, Usul Sunnah, according to some of the scholars, is from his moral advisor to one of his students, Abdul ibn Malik al-Attar, who has reported this book, Usul Sunnah. And many other scholars of Sunnah, like Al-Imam Al-Kai Abu al-Hasan, in his book, Sharh Usuli Itiqadi Ahli Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, has also mentioned this riwayah of this book. And also Al-Imam Abu Ya'la in his book, Tabaqatul Hanabila, while discussing the tarjuma of this imam, has also mentioned this book, Usul Sunnah, as from the advices of the imam, and has reported it all with its chain of narrations. So today, inshallah, after discussing the Hukmu Tariqi Salah last week, we'll continue with the next point that we have. On this strategy that we have, it will be point number 26, inshallah. So the Imam alayhi rahmatullah, Imam Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah al-Hakim, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he said, وَخَيْرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ نَبِيِّهَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ الصِّدِّيقِ. Says, وَخَيْرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ نَبِيِّهَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ الصِّدِّيقِ ثُمَّ عُمَرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ ثُمَّ عُثْمَانُ بْنُ عَفَّانِ. نقدم هؤلاء الثلاثة كما قدمهم أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لم يختلفوا في ذلك. ثم بعد هؤلاء الثلاثة أصحاب الشورى الخمسة، علي بن أبي طالب وطلحة والزبير وعبد الله بن عوف وسعد، وكلهم يصلح للخلافة، وكلهم إمام. ونذهب في ذلك إلى حديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنه، كنا نعد ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حي وأصحابه متوافرون، أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم نسكت، ثم بعد أصحاب الشورى، ثم بعد أصحاب الشورى أهل بدر من المهاجرين، ثم أهل بدر من الأنصار من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على قدر الهجرة والسابقة أولا فأولا. The Imam said عليه رحمة الله, a very lengthy point it is. rahimahullah, that wa khayru hadhihi al-ummati ba'da nabiyha Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. The best of this ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said the best of this ummah after its messenger, or after her messenger, after the messenger of this ummah, and the messenger of this ummah is the Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the best of the messengers of Allah and the prophets of Allah, in fact the best of human beings, he said, أنا سيد ولد آدم ولا فخر. I'm the leader and the most honored among the children of Adam, and it is not pride. Ulama say he had to tell us, because after him no messenger will come to tell us. After the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will come to say it was Muhammad that was the best of the Prophet alayhi wa salatu wa salam? There is no one. Just like it was when he came, he told us that there are people referred to as Ulul Azm min al-Rusul. Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was he who told us that. We saw that from his wahyu. And this is from what we cannot speak about except from revelation. But if he didn't tell us who he was, where would revelation come again to tell us who he was regarding his leadership amongst men? So he said, Ana awwalu, or he said, Ana sayyidu waladi Adam wala fakhar. I'm the leader of the children of Adam, and there is no pride. So definitely his ummah is also the best of umam. So Allah said to us in the Quran, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of umam raised for mankind. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of the messengers, and his ummah is the best of umam. So it would imply that the leader of that ummah is also the leader of mankind after the prophets and the anbiya. The ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the best of umam, all other nations that came. And that was why we are going to be shuhada. He says, litakunu shuhada ala nas, so that you be shuhada, witnesses over mankind. And in ahadith he said that Allah will call the anbiya and we call us and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will be asking those people that did the anbiya deliver the messages. We say no, it was a lie, they delivered the messages. We will be witnessing against them. So if the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of umam, then the leader of the best of ummah aside his prophet is also the leader of mankind aside the prophets and the messengers. So when the Imam said rahmahullah that wa khayru hadhihi al-ummati ba'da nabiyha, the best of this ummah after her messenger is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, what it also means is that the best of human beings after the prophets and all the anbiya, the best of human beings is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. So, and that's why in an hadith that Al-Imam Tirmidhi has reported, alayhi rahmatullah, he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, even when some of the scholars had mentioned that this hadith has some weakness, that he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hazani sayyida kuhuli ahli al-jannati min al-awwalina wal-akhirina illa an-nabiyyina wal-mursalin. He said these two people, they are going to be the leaders, or they are the leaders of the kuhul, the people who are above 40 years old, aged people, not up to shuyukh. Shuyukh have their ages starting from between 55 and above, then 60 and above. But from between 38 to about 40, 45, these people are referred to kuhul. Some say no, it is lesser than that, about 35, 30, 40. So because when Allah spoke about Nabi Isa alayhi salam, he says, يُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا. So it was at that age that he was taken away. So whichever way the case is, that these people are going to be the leaders of the kuhul of Ahlul Jannah.
If this statement is not authentic in isnad, there are things that make us understand that at least with respect to leadership, their leadership is known amongst men after the Anbiya and the Mursaleen. So he said alayhi salatu wasalam that he said alayhi rahmatullah that wa khairu hadhihi al-ummati ba'da nabiyha Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. The best of this ummah after her messenger is the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr is the nickname for which he was known. It's a laqab. His real name is Abdullah. And Ibn Abi Quhafa that we know, his name is Uthman. So he's Abdullah ibn Uthman. Abu Quhafa is the kunya of his father Uthman. And he was also a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He accepted Islam on the day of Fath Makkah. And you remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that he be brought. And when he saw him with his hairs that had already grown grey, he ordered that, no, make this hair, make it, dye it red. So he dyed the hair and made him look beautiful. And the Prophet spoke very well about him, radiallahu anhu, the father of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhuma. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, he is Abu Bakr Abdullah ibn Uthman, radiallahu anhu, al-Quraysh. Radiallahu anhu, the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And as such, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, as was reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi in a hadith that he referred to Sahihun Gharib, that Abu Bakr Sayyiduna wa Khayruna. He said, Abu Bakr Siddiq Sayyiduna wa Khayruna. Abu Bakr Siddiq is the most honored amongst us and is the best amongst us. Is the leader, is our leader, is the most honored amongst us, wa khayruna, and he is the best amongst us, radiyallahu anhu. He said again, wa ahabbu ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi, wa ahabbuna ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi, and he is the most beloved of us to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, sayyiduna, wa khayruna, wa ahabbuna ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi, is our leader, is the best of us, and is the most beloved amongst us to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And that was why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because the love of a man occurs in the minds of those who are pious and righteous people, because those people also love Allah and are righteous. The love of people get into the hearts of the pious people when those people are also lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not love Abu Bakr al-Siddiq so much and say it like that, except that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq himself loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is confirmed, and he also loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is confirmed in many verses of the Quran, generally when Allah spoke about the iman of the companions as a group of people. So if, as a group of people, Allah is saying regarding their iman, إِذَا آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believed in what had been revealed to him from his Lord, and the believers also believe, the companions believe, and they say, هُوَ خَيْرُنَا وَسَيِّدُنَا وَأَحَبُّنَا إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. It means that all those qualities, he had them more than all of them, رضي الله عنه. And that was why the son of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, who reported the first narration that we mentioned regarding the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the leadership of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq among the companions, he reported that kunna ala ahdi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We, the companions at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la na'dilu bi Abi Bakr ahadan. We do not compare anyone with Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. At the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not compare anyone with Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Why not, when he was the first matured man that accepted Islam? The first matured human being that accepted Islam as a man, a male, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Because the first person actually who accepted Islam was Khadija bint Khuwaylid, a woman, radiallahu anha, the first wife of the Prophet Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to first, and who gave birth to all his children except Ibrahim. Ibrahim was given birth to Maria al-Qibti. Except that all other children that the Prophet had sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were from Khadija bint Khuwaylid. She was the first person to accept Islam, radiyallahu anha. And then the second person to accept Islam generally was Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu. So he was the second person that accepted Islam, but he was a young boy in the household of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time. And the third person that accepted Islam and the first matured male that accepted Islam was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. So from the very first day that he accepted Islam, his wealth and life were for the services of Islam. And that was why in an hadith also reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالٌ قَطْ مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ السَّدِيق مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالٌ قَطْ مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ السَّدِيق No wealth ever benefited me as much as the wealth of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq benefited me. No wealth, nobody brought wealth that benefited me as much as the wealth of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq benefited me. No wealth. He will bring all when the Prophet required for little. Let people bring some of what they have. So I bring everything for the sake of Allah. So this foremost nature of accepting Islam, this in-depth nature of confirmed Iman earned him the title of Siddiq. It earned him the title of Siddiq. And it earned him the title of being those who are only next to the Anbiya and the Mursaloon. Because in the status and the ranking of mankind in terms of their righteousness and piety, those who are next in rank to the Anbiya and the Mursaloon, they are the what? Siddiqun. And that was why Imam al-Shinqiti alayhi rahmatullah, in the very first chapter that he alayhi rahmatullah interpreted in the Quran, in Surah Al-Fatiha, in his book Adwal Bayan fi Idah Al-Quran bil Quran, he said there is an ishara in Surah Al-Fatiha that the best person who was to lead this ummah after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. He said because Allah said ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, that we pray that Allah, that we say Allah guide us onto the straight path. And then he started to describe the path. Sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim. The path of those that you have shown your favor unto. The path of those that you have shown your virtue and excellence. You've given them all the benefits they needed. Ni'mah. Virtues, you have given it to them. So, but he didn't tell us who are these people. Even when he was using that in his muqaddimah, he mentioned that the Quran explains itself. So even when here Allah had not mentioned who are those, مَنْ هُمُ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ Who are those people that Allah has shown His name upon them? Is that إِقْفِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ Who are they? الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ